Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 178, The Ballet Book. Five years ago, in 1976, my mom, Kay Titchener, wrote a book called Ballet, published by Troubadour Press in San Francisco. And my mom's book is still in print. Now, we've interviewed a bunch of authors on the RSC podcast, and I thought, well, hell, why don't I interview the author I grew up with? So, in honor of Mother's Day this week, here's my mom. My first question is, did you always love ballet? Did you know anything about it before you even sat down to do this?
I knew almost nothing about it before our daughter, Amy, Austin's sister, started to study ballet at the age of 4 or 5. And when she was 11 and she went to San Francisco Ballet School, during that period of time, I was even more motivated then, but I had been thinking all along, I know nothing about this. And she's so interested in it. I really need to search out books, library, bookstores, to see what is written. And there was almost nothing.
Really? No histories about ballet?
No. They were very old. Oh. Very old books, out of date. Maybe books with histories of each ballet, of the story.
Right.
But not a history of the evolution of the dance.
Oh.
And that's what I became interested, was the evolution of the dance.
And Well, first of all, how did Amy even get started taking ballet lessons? Did you want to do it? Did she have friends?
No, we had a neighbor whose daughter was starting a dance class.
Okay.
And why didn't Amy go along with her? So that's how it started, at a local school. And Amy hated it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dance thing where the girls ran around with balloons and scarves and the raindrops are falling.
Uh-huh.
And Amy hated it. She wouldn't do it. She came and hung on to me. And so then I called a school in Alameda, a town near us, that had been recommended, and I talked to the woman there, and I explained the situation. I think she wants to do something, mm-hmm. but she doesn't like what's being offered. And she said, you'll bring her over here.
Okay.
So I took her over there.
That was the Academy of Dance, and you have to say it like that, Academy of Dance, in Alameda. Run by a man, an artistic director, choreographer named Vern Nerden, which is now in my adult life, being the professional comedian I am, is just a name that's ripe for comedy. But I didn't think that at the time.
No, that's actually true. He was a very serious man. He'd had quite an interesting career in dance himself, mm-hmm. but he was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And he taught all these little girls the classic ballet bar. They went to the bar, and they did a bar.
Yeah.
And he spotted Amy's potential immediately, mm-hmm. and she took to it like a duck to water.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't believe it. She was just this little thing, and there she was with her poses and working very hard to do it exactly as he said to do it.
But he was great too, because then John, my brother John, and I also got into not ballet so much, but certainly girls in leotards, and but also just theater, because he was so motivational. And his ballets weren't sissy, you know, they were muscular and athletic and cool.
Yes, he wanted his men to be very manly and very muscular and very athletic.
Yeah.
And and Austin and John did get into it because Amy.
You mean Austin? You mean me?
Yes, I mean Austin, sitting right here. Amy was in a Nutcracker, and the boys would go with me to take her to rehearsals.
The boys, me and John.
Yes.
You can talk to me.
Okay.
you're being so good in third person.
I'm talking to your audience out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, they wanted to go along, and they got really excited by the fight between the soldiers and the mice.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that was the coolest part of the whole dance. And I said something to Vern about that, how much the boys had loved it. And he said, well, they can do it if they want to. Mm-hmm. They don't have to take class.
Mm-hmm.
And so the following Nutcracker, they were in it. They were in the fight. They were mice. They were soldiers. and they were little boys in the first act. Mm-hmm. And
it was great. Yeah, no, we had a blast. And then John I think did a couple more of the dancing roles. I did some of the character roles, but I really totally got into the backstage aspects of theater from anyway. That's where we cut our teeth. That's where we cut our theatrical teeth. But you then served as like the president of the board of this Metropolitan Ballet Company.
Yes, I did. I was president of the board. Then Austin's dad was president of the board. It was a small, fledgling company, yeah. Not going very far, very fast. But we were a serious bunch of people. We had a little theater in downtown Oakland where we performed. It was a wonderful little old theater in an old hotel.
Yeah, it was great.
And
the Alice Street Theater at 14th and Alice.
Exactly right, and now it's a whole different thing.
So it was small, kind of a community, semi-professional ballet company.
Exactly right. And
and you were only into that because of Amy's involvement.
Well, that's right. I was only there because of Amy's involvement. And all the parents, there were many parents involved.
Right.
I mean, it was a kind of situation where the students were getting so much out of it that the parents couldn't help but want to pitch in and do what they could, as in cleaning the theater before performance.
Right. Well, and it was, I mean, in terms of the value of an experience like this, I mean, I certainly didn't turn out to be a dancer, but I turned, theater became my life, and I got my training at this backstage at this ballet company. It was fantastic training, and also just fantastic exposure to music and dance and movement and the possibilities of movement and all that. It was all great. And Vern was a great motivator.
Yes, he was a great
inspirational.
He was a great teacher. He was very serious. He loved his kids. He was a unique talent, and those I have met since, I have to say that he was an extremely unique talent. And Amy, at this stage in her life, remembers what he taught and attempts to continue that. This is the way Vern would have done it, because it was so, she was so impressed with his style and what he was able to accomplish.
Well, and Amy, for what it's worth, has gone on to be a professional dancer and choreographer and teacher. So she's certainly carrying that all on. At the same time, in the early to mid-70s, Dad became the president of this publishing company in San Francisco called Troubadour Press that did activity books for children. And they were cool. And they were kind of started in the 60s by a friend of Dad's, the Fat Cat coloring book, The Love Bug. That was all very hippie-ish. But then in the 70s, they got into more different subject matter. You could make these cardboard movie machines, paper movie machines, dinosaur coloring books, everything else. Where did the idea come along to do a book about ballet?
Well, Austin's dad came home one day. He said, "How would you like to write a color and story book about ballet?" And I said, "You're kidding. me write a book?" He said, "Well, you have your nose in those books all the time. It might be fun to write some." So
you started the research just on your own, not even for the book.
Just because of my own interest.
Yeah.
What can I find out?
Mm-hmm.
This is really interesting. What can I learn?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we were fortunate because a former teacher of Vern's, who was a 90-something-year-old lady from not the Bolshoi, but the other, St. Petersburg, Mariinsky Theater, would come and teach master classes for him and stay in the homes of the various parents.
Alexandra Baldina, Madame Alexandra Baldina. I remember her.
Yes, she was an outstanding lady, outstanding lady. And it was the connection of this century with that century and what had come before, and the fact that the dances were taught from one generation to the next.
It was like an oral tradition, but,
a visual tradition. You can't write it down, even though now there are steps taken to write down choreography.
Well, and videotape.
Yeah.
But at that time, I just loved that connection of passing on. And so we set it up so that the idea was to be the left side of the page was a full page of text of whatever, and the right side of the page was the picture to be colored.
Yeah,
and we found a wonderful woman who did the illustrations, and I took them to Vern before we published just to make sure he liked the illustrations, and then he liked what was said in the book, and And then I attempted just to tell the story of the evolution of the dance.
Yeah.
And then wind it up with some of my favorite story ballets, and then some of the favorite movies, like West Side Story.
Yeah. And The Red Shoes is in here, too?
The Red Shoes.
The book is really handsome. I mean, it's on heavy sort of cardboard, so you can color in the pictures if you want, and even cut them out and frame them. That's on the right side of the page. But then on the left side, there's an enormous amount of text. It's a color and story album, but it's really a kind of a great reference book as well.
Yes, it is. Actually, when I read it now, I'd like to write it all over again because I think it's pretty boring as it's written.
Way to sell the books, Mom.
Hi, this is Scott Bakula, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Okay, can you please take the gun away from my head now?
Where can you see the RSC? You can't, unfortunately. We're not performing anywhere live until we return to San Diego Repertory Theater in June for 2 weeks and then go back to the Kennedy Center for 3 weeks in June and July. You can see us online in our YouTube videos, and there will be more videos coming soon, I promise. And this fall, we'll be all over the country, hitting the road again with The Complete World of Sports Abridged. And also, we'll be returning to Singapore and Hong Kong with The Complete History of America Abridged and The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged. We'll get all those dates up on the website in a month or so once we get everything nailed down. So don't forget to go to reducedshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information.
I remember when you were writing the book that the entire half of the dining room table was taken up with your research and your writing and your yellow pads, and that Dad was in charge of dinner, which was almost always a disaster.
I know. And my children were impressed. Wow, Mama's writing a book. And then my husband would edit it. I'd be down there till early in the morning. I'd create a page of text and I would labor over every word, every punctuation, and try to get it to sound right to me. And then I would leave it out for him to look at the next morning. And then I would pick up, and it was just red penciled all over the place. Redundant work, you don't need this word, blah, 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 blah. And I would be crushed.
Was he right?
Yes.
Yeah, most of the time he was right, yeah.
Yes, he was. He was right about it because he knew that I could be more efficient. Yeah. That way we get more words, we get more text, more story on the one page.
So it was a good collaboration, even though you were married.
Exactly right. I have to say it was a good collaboration, and I'm still very proud of it.
Yeah, well, and it's 1976's book came out, and it is still in print.
Right.
Troubadour Press was sold to Price, Stern, and Sloan many years ago. But it's still in print.
There's a Library of Congress number. It's in the Library of Congress.
Good heavens! So you've had a book in print for 35 years. You must be rolling in dough.
Wouldn't that be nice? But what I was given, they decided, because I was brand new, never written anything before, I should be paid a small sum.
Bastards.
Exactly.
It was like $250 or something.
It was
stupid, horribly stupid.
I should have said, forget it. Get out of my book. I'll shop it around.
Well, I guess it's appropriate it was your husband because you got screwed.
Well, it was. I have to say, Kenton would have tried to do more, but his partner was cautious. Mm. He thought, this is never going to sell.
This is too highbrow.
It's much too highbrow. But that began not just my book, but right about that time, dance was becoming more popular and more well-known, and it was beginning to take off for the public to see it, understand it, and be excited about it, and want to go see other ballets. And more books began to come out.
Well, books and movies. I mean, Baryshnikov began to be very popular. Who had done Nijinsky? Nureyev, Rudolf Nureyev had done that movie about Nijinsky.
Margot Fontaine, that partnership between Margot Fontaine and Nureyev became, of course, a stuff of gossip and everything. It made it even more interesting.
Right.
But yeah, suddenly it was also popular and also sexy and scandalous as well.
Exactly. What else do you need?
Well, and The Turning Point came out?
The Turning Point came out, yes. That was an excellent movie for the public. And consequently, Amy wanted to go to New York for a summer, and I would go with her, as in The Turning Point. And my husband saw the movie, and he said, "Are you kidding? There's no, there is no way." And I thought, well, if we should be so lucky as to meet a Baryshnikov in that opportunity, wouldn't that be nice? But no, we didn't get to go.
Dad just didn't want to be Tom Skerritt in that scenario.
He did not.
So do you have any advice? Do you have any advice for young writers, young authors?
Absolutely none.
And are you still interested in ballet? I mean, are you still interested in the dance?
I am still interested in the dance. I don't get to the ballet as much as I would like, but we're so fortunate to be near the San Francisco Ballet Company, which is just outstanding right now. Mm-hmm. And the other companies come to a performing facility in Berkeley, UC Berkeley, Alvin Ailey, Mark Morris, a number of them, who are just wonderful. We have so much available that maybe it's because there's so much available, you think, well, if I miss this, I'll get the next one. Mm-hmm. The thing that thrills me as much is the attempt of students who are not dancers, high school kids, to do it.
Yeah.
And to do it the best way they can.
Yeah.
And they're not terribly graceful up there, but they are working so hard that it says to me that the dance is a very important form of expression,
right,
whether it's beautifully done or not.
Right.
The opportunity to attempt it is very meaningful for them.
Yeah.
I know you've been asked this question a lot because all three of your kids have gone into some aspect of show business, some aspect of the arts. Did you ever want to be a performer? Did you ever want to be up on stage?
No, I would never be up on a stage. I sit in the audience and I applaud. I wouldn't be caught dead up on a stage. I don't know how they do it. Because to me, to put yourself out there, this is my contribution. I can sit all by myself and write down the words.
Uh-huh.
But I have no interest in being up there talking about it or performing anything.
Well, and your contribution is also you buy the tickets and sit in the audience.
I buy the tickets. That helps the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was a little girl, I would have wanted to take dance lessons, as most of my friends did. There was a little studio over the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that that would be kind of fun to do. But it didn't work out, and I didn't. And I never really had anything. Although I used to dance around, the lives dating me, used to dance around the living room pretending I was Eleanor Powell after I'd seen her in a movie. So maybe that was a sum total of my dance.
You got it out of your system.
I got it out of my system.
Well, and let me ask you this one final question, because I think prior to this book, am I right in thinking that your previous brush with greatness was when you were mistaken for the kidnapped Lindbergh baby?
Oh, yes, that's true, because I'm the same age as the Lindbergh baby.
And your father was a pilot.
And my father was a pilot. And so he and my mother and myself were at a local airport in Ohio, Michigan, wherever it was. And they were looking for the Lindbergh baby, and the authorities came over to the car. I had curly hair, just like he did, and they wanted to check out the baby. And it was only until they had checked my diaper that they that they were satisfied that I couldn't possibly be the Lindbergh baby. And of course, that was a very sad story.
That is a very sad story, but it's good to know that the FBI was being so thorough.
That's right. That's right.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your ballet stories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Lord of the Dance, Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to @SerenaEliza. a Twitter follower. No reason. It is just random. Special thanks to Scott Bakula and to Kay Titchener, my mom, who doesn't usually talk about her kids in the third person when I'm actually sitting right there. Now, I had an excuse. I interviewed my mom for the podcast, but let me urge you to interview your parents. Get them to tell their stories while they can, even if you don't have a podcast. You are going to love listening to it later. I'm so glad I did this, and I hope it was mildly interesting to all you listeners who aren't direct relatives. Thanks again, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 178, 534ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
And it was just so much fun to do. It really was fun to do. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And that basically had been what I've been trying to do anyway, was to learn. Mm-hmm. So it was a good experience.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.